Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
On today's Pardon My Take, we have the long-awaited Rob Lowe interview. It was awesome, and you need to listen to all of it. Extended cut. We were trying to cut some stuff out, and we're like, you know what? We're just going to give it to you. We're going to give you all the Rob Lowe that you can handle. So Rob Lowe is in person. A great interview when we were out in L.A. We also have the finale of Hard Knocks, Cleveland Browns, and we have Hot Seat Cool Throwing and Guys on Chicks.
Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started.
Okay, let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by SeatGeek. Today is Wednesday, September 5th. And PFT, I don't know if I am just still feeling the high of a Liev Schreiber narrated slow-mo, but I think the Browns are going to win the Super Bowl.
Dude, I'm telling you, like, we have gone from trashing the Browns.
That's a brotherhood in there.
This is the best season of Hard Knocks. This was better than the Rex Ryan season.
I agree.
I smelled it coming into it. I'm like a dog that can smell football coming, entertaining football. And that the combination of some of the guys that we got introduced to, like Kajust, RIP.
Dude.
Brogan, RIP.
Brogan's touchdown, like the music, the spiral, and then 5 minutes later, the cut. That is what Hard Knocks is. And I just want to say this right now. This is a hard part of our job. We don't like doing it, but we're going to have to let you go today.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to have to let you go. We're going to put you on waivers. We'll see if anyone claims you. But we're going to have to.
I hate that.
You know what? We'll have someone take care of you. We'll get you all your stuff.
The guys are going to get you stored on the way.
But we'll make sure that you have a new trash bag to put all your stuff in.
What do you think Brogan Roback had in that cardboard box when he was walking out? His bong?
Yeah.
A couple nudie mags.
Probably two footballs. He's like, I don't know if I'll ever see one of these again.
Three phones with all his DMs that he's got on there now.
So, Hard Knocks season finale. We went through the cuts. I actually think that we need to, you know how ESPN finally did the thing where Schefter couldn't, tip off the draft picks?
Mm-hmm.
We need that for Hard Knocks. Because going into this, knowing that Kajust got cut, knowing that the late-breaking Carl Nassib got cut, like, obviously Brogan Roback was going to get cut, but Nate Orchard. I needed a little more suspense because it was more just me waiting for the guys that I fell in love with to get cut. It happens every Hard Knocks, but this year it just felt different.
Yeah, they should have softened the blow a little bit. They should have had Moose deliver the news. Just have the dog show up to their house with a pink slip.
Yeah, and it was also great seeing Kajust. Let me ask you this question. Do we no longer believe in the power of crystals?
No, I believe more in the power of crystals because did you see the way that he handled it?
Yeah.
Two reasons. One, he was laughing like a second later.
True.
So it gives you a lot of optimism. Number two, his dad survived the cut, which that tells me that crystals work too.
Well, actually, he didn't because he's maybe going to have open heart surgery.
But he made it through that day.
Right.
We hope for the best.
I hope that his dad gets healthy because that was like... It was such a weird storyline they threw in, like, oh, yeah, and his dad has really, really serious health issues. Mm-hmm.
And he looks super healthy, too.
And he looks super healthy.
His dad looks like an American gladiator.
So I hope Devin Kajust's father does okay with however that whole situation figures out. I believe in Crystals still.
I believe
Crystals took a hit.
Crystals, yeah. So my power rankings for healing things go one, paint,
mm-hmm.
and then two, Crystals.
Yeah. The other news we had was I've never felt more confident in the Khalil Mack trade
yeah.
than I did when Hugh Jackson saw the news and was like, oh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, that's too many draft picks.
Yeah, that should absolutely make you think that you did the exact correct thing, knowing that Hugh Jackson was like, I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, no
that's
way.
Sweet vindication for you.
It was so great.
And then Hugh Jackson's like, man, that's just like two first-rounders. That's just what you give up for a great quarterback.
Yeah, wow.
Like A.J. McCarron,
right.
which he tried to do last year and couldn't do for A.J. McCarron.
Out there?
It was yeah. like the fax machine that fucked up.
Yes.
The best general manager in the history of the Cleveland Browns is a broken fax machine.
Right, absolutely, who stopped the A.J. McCarron trade. And then Hugh Jackson finished the night basically saying, here are your stripes. You're Cleveland Brown. That means we win football games. A football game? Like, a gun rack?
Let's start with one.
Not many guns to necessitate a gun rack?
Let's start with one, and then we'll add the plural on later.
Yes, game.
How about Antonio Brown?
Yeah.
So I have a long-standing theory that the Cleveland Browns are a false flag organization for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their owner that they have, Jimmy yep. Haslam, is a former Steelers owner.
Correct.
I think that they were just kind of – they were brought back into the league to inflate the Steelers' record artificially.
Yep. Big Ben has thrown more touchdowns in Cleveland than Cleveland Brown quarterbacks in, like, the last 15 years.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Big Ben has had more assault charges over his career than the Browns have had wins in the past 2 years.
True. Also true.
So there's that.
So the question is, we went through the cuts. If you were in that spot, how would you not get cut?
It's easy. It's actually a very easy thing. You just don't pick up
Good
your
question
phone.
Question by me.
You don't pick up your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they try to reach you. Oh, my phone's off. They leave a message. Nobody checks messages mm-hmm. anymore.
Yeah.
You can't be responsible to check a message in 2016. So then you just keep showing up to facility like Hank did to not get fired.
You don't get served. If you just never accept any mail for the rest of your life,
yeah.
you can never get served.
I'm sure Todd Haley would hunt you down eventually.
Yeah.
That would probably be the best part of his job.
That was the other part. They sprinkled in a little Todd Haley, Greg Williams at the end, but Todd Haley also trying to deal with rap music being played at practice.
Mm-hmm.
He was not happy.
Yep.
Not happy whatsoever. And no one has thought a joke was funnier than Todd Haley thinking his baby Carl joke thing. He's going to keep doing that all year.
Yeah,
every time he sees a baby, he's like, what, are they going to name it Carl?
Todd's definitely pissed off that Greg Williams said, I need a fucking lozenge, bitch.
Yeah.
And I put my testicles in the C-gap.
Yes.
Like, Haley's pissed off that Greg came out of here with two catchphrases and
yeah.
he doesn't have one.
Oh, no, he does. Nice job, you fucking kicker.
Oh, yeah, you're
he
right.
He does have that one.
Good job, you fucking kicker.
Good job, you fucking kicker. So, all in all, A+. Hard Knocks season. It rejuvenated the Hard Knocks brand.
Mm-hmm.
It was Hard Knocks making a comeback. So even though the whole theme of it was like the Browns making a comeback, technically mission accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
You already rejuvenated an entire brand. You don't have to win any football games.
Yeah, Hard Knocks was actually the Cleveland Browns of TV shows over the past two seasons.
Yeah.
A once-storied franchise that had fallen on tough times.
And now they're back.
Hugh Jackson brought it back.
Yes.
Congrats to you.
Liev Schreiber, like,
great
honestly,
story.
Has there ever been a better voiceover guy?
I saw you tweet this out about it's weird seeing football coaches wearing jeans.
Yes.
I don't think it's a football coaches wearing jeans problem. I think it's a Hugh Jackson wearing jeans problem. He strikes me as a guy that should just wear a poncho all the time. He's got that body that just kind of like Slimer or Jabba the Hutt that just kind of
yeah.
keeps getting bigger as it
but
goes
no,
down.
No, hear me out. I actually think jeans are the weirdest thing a football coach can wear because football coaches, they either are in sweatpants or full suit. There is no in between. They're not normal human beings. Like, it's actually the way to tell the difference between normal human beings and football coaches is if you see someone wearing jeans, you're like, that's a civilian. And everything else, mm-hmm. like Hugh Jackson, kind of
unless,
he's trying to blur the lines there.
Unless you're in Carolina and it's Friday.
True.
And it's mandatory
jeans
to
Fridays.
Wear them.
Yeah,
I do think that football guys and football coaches have one pair of jeans. They've got their jeans.
Yes.
And it's got like a well-worn wallet area where the wallet always stays and then a dip can line in the back.
And if it's Todd Haley, it's got some kind of cool pattern on the butt cheek. And you know what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
he's got Ed Hardy jeans.
Yeah, he's got the whole thing going where it's like, these are my, maybe a couple of crystals, maybe some rhinestones at the bottom of the boot cup.
Yeah, a couple condoms just hanging out of the watch pocket.
Yeah.
Just like how, yeah.
Ready to go.
Just letting you know you're a swinger.
Yeah,
it's like in some cities I've heard that if you put a pineapple in your shopping cart when you're taking it around the supermarket.
Interesting.
That on singles night, that means that you swing. Todd Haley just lets everybody on the sidelines know, hey. Yeah. I'm DTF.
He's just got that condom sitting there.
Yeah.
What?
Singles night at the grocery store?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pineapple.
Yeah, look it up, Hank.
Bro, it's also if you leave your garage door open just a little bit.
Yeah, crack it. That means
you crack that garage door.
Come in this garage and fuck my wife.
Yeah, just pound my wife out while I watch. That's the international sign.
Yeah, come on, man.
All right, let's get to...
Sounds like Hank's never had a good time.
Let's get to Hot Seat Cool Throne. Hank, why don't you start?
Whoa.
Yeah, hot seat, Hank. He's not ready for his hot seat.
My
cool
hot
throne.
Seat is mayonnaise.
Okay, the sticky seat.
Mm. Mayonnaise sales have dropped 6.7% over the last 5 years as millennials abandoned America's perennial favorite condiment in favor of hipper alternatives.
Like Miracle Whip.
Yeah, or avocado spread.
Yeah, here's a trick that you can do if you're opening a restaurant. This one has the PFT stamp on it. Instead of putting mayo on sandwiches, just put mayo on and call it aioli.
Mm, that's smart. Yeah, yeah. You just make it a little bit, put a little like dash of ketchup in it, and then it's secret sauce.
Yes, it's gourmet.
So you guys mayo boys?
Big mayo boy.
Yeah, I like mayo.
Here's the thing. Mayo has been slandered recently.
Yeah.
It's gone. The pendulum has swung in the opposite direction. I can see a legitimate complaint with over-mayoing sandwiches, but it's gone way too far because there's nothing worse than a dry sandwich.
Well, you know what it is it's like three people online decided that mayo is disgusting, and they just make that their entire brand to bash mayo, and I can't keep up with someone who spends 24/7, 365 online bashing mayo, so that's where we're at.
I disagree. I think that there were a few OG mayo bashers, Drew McGarry being one of them. I think he got the mayo train started. And then there were a lot of copycats because they saw the engagement.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, yeah, this mayo cream. You know what? If you don't like mayo,
you're lying.
You're also, you're probably kind of homophobic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm here
for that. And a little misogynistic.
Why is that?
Because you're just like, your masculinity is threatened by having this creamy, delicious
spread. I hate
spread
white sauce.
Just down your throat.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I'm here to say, mayo me up. That didn't come out great.
It's very courageous.
We cut that part. Okay. Wait,
you know what's funny is I've had a draft in the back end of Barstool for the last 2 weeks in defense of mayonnaise.
There we go.
And I've been working on it.
So
in my spare time.
Can you please quote me in that?
Mayo me up. Michael Scott, Wayne Gretzky, Dan Katz.
Yeah. All right. And your cool throne?
And then my cool throne is Christian Yelich.
Yeah.
Recurring guest. These are stats from MLB. It's Christian Yelich since appearing on Part of My Take in July. He's first in batting average, tied for first in home runs, first in runs, first in RBIs, and first in slugging percentage.
Okay.
Many people are saying he's going to be the NL MVP.
No. Javi Baez still.
Did you hear the stats I just gave?
Yeah. Javi Baez still.
So wait, are you denying the part of my take bump?
No, the part of my take bump is real. We made Christian Yelich. He went from an all-star to
perennial
an
MVP
all-star.
Candidate.
And I think he's going to win. Can I say something?
Sure.
I got a little triggered because Christian Yelich hit like a walk-off, but it wasn't really a walk-off. It was just Chris Bryant just forgetting that you're supposed to probably throw home with bases loaded and one out. And he did the post-game interview because I had the stupid Milwaukee feed on my TV, and I gave him the finger and sent him a picture of me giving him the finger.
Mm.
And he said, "You don't mean that." And I pussied out, and I was like, "Yeah,
yeah, you're right. I don't."
Yeah, that's my bad.
Hey, guys, I know another Christian that improved after a 3-day rest.
Who?
It was Jesus.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Became untouchable.
Yes.
True. Invincible.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm untouchable, bitch. Coming up soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
My hot seat. Wait, Hank, are you done?
Yeah.
Okay, the bare minimum from Hank.
Oh, I got to say bare minimum as well. What do you have?
Students all amongst us.
Wait, what's the segment called?
Hot seat, cool throne. My hot seat. My hot seat is. Hank, can I go?
Yeah.
Okay, my hot seat is fun.
As long as you only have one.
My hot seat's fun because not fun, period.
Okay.
Fun, comma, because the NHL is considering outlawing keg stands on the Stanley Cup.
That is not fun.
The Washington Capitals have done too many keg stands on it, and they've compromised the structural integrity. And if you look at the laws of physics, never before in the history of the world has a steel structure collapsed under its own weight just from having Russians stand on top of them and chug vodka out of it.
This was bound to happen.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Can we get PFT's Toronto NHL commissioner voice? Remember you did that once?
You did do that once. Okay, so we're having a little bit too much fun with the cup now.
But it was a little more Mike Greenberg in it, too.
Listen, okay, so we tried to be fun with you, and we let you have your Molsons and just chug it out of there. But when you do it upside down, now that ruins it for the rest of us now.
Yeah, and so that guy is sitting there in Toronto, and he had that. like epiphany when he saw Ovechkin doing all this stuff, and he's gonna and Ovechkin ruined it for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine. The, okay. the Caps won the cup better than any other team in the history of the NHL.
Got it.
Harder celebrators. I'm also going to put Ed Hockley on the hot seat.
Oh,
another one?
Hot seats.
Because the college ranks are just crawling with jacked up refs these days. I saw like four or five of them, even the ones that are fat, do nothing but arm curls in the offseason.
Is that Ed Hockley on the hot seat, or is it an Ed Hockley tribute band?
It is an Ed Hockley tribute band, but it's making people forget about the OG Ed Hockley.
Oh, I think
Do you know any of their names?
Yeah, I think it's actually the opposite. I think people are remembering Ed Hockley because they're like, who was the guy who started it? Oh, yeah, Ed Hockley.
And all these refs, they're just itching to do the first down symbol.
Yes.
To show off those guns.
Yeah, why not? That's way to the beach?
There you go. Another reason why just like games are tilted towards offense is because you have refs that are calling pass interference too frequently, and they just want to do the first down signal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not fair for defenses.
Okay.
My cool throne is Tom Brady's political future.
Uh-oh.
So this is also a little stay woke on my part. I think that Tom Brady is going to run for office in Massachusetts after he's done playing football.
Mm-hmm.
And to win in Massachusetts when you're running for office, you typically have to be what?
Not Kennedy.
I was going to say accidentally kill somebody and then cover up. No, okay. That's not it. You typically have to be a Democrat. And Tom Brady has gone from having the Make America Great Again hat in his locker to now he's liking Colin Kaepernick's Instagram posts.
Interesting.
For the new ad campaign.
Interesting.
Even though Tom had the hat in his locker.
Even though Tom Brady is an Under Armour guy. And Kaepernick's a Nike guy.
Huh.
So I've got a big theory that I'm working on here. I think he shipped Jimmy Garoppolo out to San Francisco because Jimmy G was a Republican, and he didn't like having a Republican teammate. So he's like, I'm going to send you out to hang out with all the libs out in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, Jimmy G, probably a Republican.
So he sent him to like a conversion camp.
Yes.
Out in San Francisco.
Well, either that or just got him out of town.
Yeah.
Because he didn't like, he was intolerant of Jimmy G's intolerance because Jimmy G, what does he do? He wins all the time. He's like Donald Trump. He's just sick of winning all the time. He bangs porn stars.
Yep.
Which is another Trump factor. So my stay woke on that is that he is he's a liberal, and he is he's making a pivot to run for office.
Just interesting.
Put that one in the tickler file for
interesting.
Later.
Interesting.
He's got my vote.
Okay.
All right.
My hot seat is going to be our friend, recurring guest, and ultimate football guy, Dave Wannstedt. Not only is he on the hot seat because he needs his man card revoked, but he also tried Bikram yoga for 10 minutes, he clarified.
Mm-hmm.
For 10 minutes. But still, Wani doing Bikram yoga, like those, that's oil and water. Those do not mix.
Let's be real. He laid down on a mat and complained for 10 minutes.
There's no way that this like actually either happened, or if it did, like there should have been some kind of alarm that went off, like a siren around the world. Like, hey, Wani just walked into a yoga facility. Is he lost? Is he okay?
Mm-hmm.
The life alert.
That's how you know that we're living in a computer simulation and it's starting to glitch.
Yes.
Is that Dave Wannstedt is trying to do hot yoga.
He must have been so confused.
Yeah.
He's like, but you know what? Dave Wannstedt does seem like a guy who goes to the sauna a lot. So he's probably like, well, he probably just sat there.
He walked in.
And was like, why do everyone have their clothes on?
He walked in with just a towel on.
Yeah, he's like, why are you guys like? Why aren't you guys naked?
Was this a sport?
Yeah.
When do we start hitting each other?
Yeah, exactly. So he's on my hot seat, and my cool throne is Big Baller Brand.
Ooh.
Because two reasons. One, I don't know if you saw, but LiAngelo Ball, is it LiAngelo?
Mm-hmm.
Said that he thinks that maybe the theft in China was the reason why he got passed over in the NBA draft. Great spin zone, buddy. That's a way to do it. It's not the fact that you suck at basketball. Nope, it was probably the fact that you stole something in China that got you not drafted.
Right. Well, if you look at the NBA rosters, people who commit crimes do not go on to play in the
Correct.
NBA ever.
And then number two reason is Nike stock down because of the Kaepernick stuff, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Adidas stock down. I think there was a couple others. Fila, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, Fila stock is always
all their stocks are
down.
You know what stock's not down? Big Baller brand because it's still privately owned.
Privately owned. That's how you do it.
So Big Ball, people are talking. This Big Baller brand's about to have a windfall from this.
This is actually a huge opportunity for LeVar Ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he plays his cards right, like we said last week, Nike should start sending uniforms to the troops. Big Baller brand should outfit the United States military.
That would be great.
Big Baller brand would just take combat boots.
6 to 9 months to get there.
And they'd all cost $7,000.
And you don't get the size that you want, but you get a shoe.
You get what
it's like
you get.
Here, guy who has 10-foot shoes, here, 14. Whatever, just take them.
Think about that. We're starting a war against China. And like they're trying to invade us, and we're just like, what are those? The entire Chinese army?
Yes.
And we're like, guess you guys aren't Big Ballers.
You're not Big Ballers.
And then they have to go home.
And we have Big Baller water. So we actually are basically self-sufficient
with our
troops if you just go Big Baller brand for everything. Yep. All right, let's get to our interview, the long-awaited Rob Lowe interview. It was a great interview. Really, really fun time. He is literally amazing.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, here he is, Rob Lowe. All right, we now welcome on a very, very special guest. He is an acclaimed actor, Hollywood regular, been on TV shows, hit TV shows. It is Rob Lowe. Can I just say that you are intimidatingly attractive? I'll just say that.
I'll take it.
Okay.
That's not really great on a podcast, though, because people are like, I don't know if that's...
I think people know what you look like. Yeah.
That's why we're not having you like on a TV show.
Right.
So
right.
we can just lie and say you're not that attractive.
It could have gone the other way.
Not as good in person.
You just get out of bed.
You could be like, dude.
Do people know that you're 5'3"?
Mike, this is so sad. This is so sad.
I wanted to actually start, though. We usually like to, you know, butter up our guests, do some easy questions, but I want to start with a hard one.
Oh, I like it.
The most embarrassing moment of your entire career.
Oh, my God.
Your entire career.
My entire career.
Quote.
Yes.
Hearing my fave, number 18, Peyton Manning, will not return to the NFL. 2011, Rob Lowe.
All right, let's get it on.
Let's do it.
Fake news.
Source. Who are your sources?
First of all, there's a world in which I'm right. So here, just bear with me.
Oh, because you didn't go back to the Colts.
Bear with me. Okay. Go back in time. You're a Colts fan, right? The notion that Peyton would never play another snap for you would be unthinkable. Unthinkable. Who was the first person who put that notion out there? That's right. It's me.
So you were directing
now,
just
granted,
at Colts fans.
Granted, he didn't retire anyone. Well, what the fuck in the Super Bowl?
So
I was wrong on that account.
Yeah. Who were your sources?
I like any good. You're a journalist.
Yeah. Thank you.
You don't reveal your sources.
It was great though because people were like, okay, Rob Lowe, Parks and Rec. Maybe he does know. Maybe he actually like people ran with it. Like, oh man, Rob Lowe, Colts insider.
Rob Lowe, Parks and Rec. It takes place in
Indiana.
He must know.
Not filmed in Indiana.
Not filmed in Indiana, but he must know.
Yeah,
know something.
Did you get like a?
I actually did get a phone call. I truly did.
Okay.
From someone who's like.
Done deal.
It's like this is way worse than anyone's saying.
Interesting.
Now, why did they go to you?
Because I'm a Colts fan.
Yeah.
And okay. I'm a huge Peyton fan.
Yeah.
And did you have permission to break that news, or was this you this just going rogue?
When I learned my first lesson in Twitter, I was really new to Twitter, and I don't think I was really. I'll never forget because I was I went through one of the canyons in LA where you don't have reception. So I tweeted it before the canyon, didn't have reception for 12 minutes, got to the other side and had 60,000 more followers. Uh-huh. And my agents, managers, and everybody were ringing me off. It was crazy. Yeah. I was like, what did I do?
Adam Schefter's following you now.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, once you got a taste for breaking news, even though it was actually not really what ended up happening, did you like want to get back in it? Are you like cultivating sources? Do you want to like continue to break NFL news?
I think it's a rush.
Mean,
I mean, if I had some good stuff, you know, I'd probably.
We're going to start giving you tips.
Yeah.
So anytime I hear something, if I'm not sure about it, I'll run it through you first.
And look, and thank God I did, because like, had I not done it, then it wouldn't have led to Peyton being on my Comedy Central roast and being so funny about it.
True.
It was so funny.
Did you get tipped off about the time that Peyton Manning's wife did steroids?
We don't know that to be true now.
That's okay. Yeah,
that's a leading.
Yeah.
You know,
anyone could send boxes.
They would say that's a leading
anywhere.
Question.
Yeah.
In a
just
legal.
Just because she signed for it and brought it inside the house doesn't mean that she knew it was
not
inside.
A big deal.
That's a leading question.
Uh-huh. So, are you a Peyton Manning fan or are you just a Colts fan?
No, I'm a Peyton fan.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm a Peyton fan. Which is not to say that I'm not a Colts fan, and I'm a big Andrew Luck guy. You know, my son is here with me. He's a Stanford guy.
Another great
Stanford
looking guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope he does.
Almost too good looking.
Luck?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who does he?
It's not fair.
You know, he's not a bad actor. We did a scene on Parks and Recreation. It was Reggie Wayne, Andrew Luck, me, Chris Pratt. Mm-hmm. He had Chris Pratt run some post patterns. And I'll never forget Luck just flat-footed, just with a wrist. It's like a 25-yard seed.
Yeah. His shoulder doesn't really work anymore. Yeah. So I would
he
hope
looked
it
good the other day.
Maybe that's how
he
got hurt.
He did. So we're going to get into the acting stuff in your career. But since we're on sports,
yeah.
What are your teams? So Colts. Are you a LeBron guy now?
I've been in LA for so long without a team. Mm-hmm. What happened was I began to follow other teams. And
fair.
And here's another thing is maybe you can help me with this. Like people say you have to pick a side sometimes. Like I like the Red Sox and I like the Yankees.
Okay.
And people are like that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is. Work. Yep, that's ridiculous.
But here's because I like I like teams that can be rivals.
Okay.
Like I like the Patriots and I like the Colts.
You root for the storyline. You're like a journalist.
I like the storyline, and I like teams that are great.
You like excellence.
I like excellence. I do. Like, my brother Chad is a longtime Browns fan and Bengals fan.
Oof.
Both. And he, like, loves it. Like, he's proud about it.
He's the black sheep low.
He's the exact opposite. Yeah.
He's the exact opposite of me. Yeah. Like, in that way, like, I like people who are good at what they do.
Yeah.
He likes people who are bad
losers,
at what
they do. Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you like Duke basketball, the Dallas Cowboys, New York Yankees. Who else?
Ronaldo guy.
Uh huh.
Yeah,
you root for the sun to come up in the morning.
I root for the inevitable.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
So you that's exactly what it's like.
Have you gotten a chance to meet LeBron?
I have not. I've not met him.
He's actually a pretty good actor.
That's what my sons were saying. He's really good in the Judd Apatow movie.
Well, I was actually talking about like on the basketball court. Yeah. When
he's a really good actor on the basketball court.
He just cries.
Yeah. We know. Can we tell? Why does Portnoy hate him so much? Do we really know what that's about?
It's
I'm
about
trying
the
to figure this out.
It's a
Boston Celtics.
Celtics, Cavs, Celtics Heat thing, and now it's once you get stuck in a when you're in the hot take world. Once you get stuck in a spot, you got to
defend it.
You got to go to the end,
as I just did with Peyton Manning's retirement.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
In spite of all evidence to the contrary, you must double down.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So is it LeBron? Is LA LeBron's town?
Here's the only thing I don't like about it.
Okay.
Here's the only thing I don't like about it.
Go in on
the Lakers are the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
No one is bigger than the Lakers.
The standard's the standard.
Yep.
I get LeBron. I get it all. He's another player on the Lakers.
It's
these are
true.
The, uh-huh. These are the Lakers. This isn't the Cleveland Cavaliers we're talking about. Okay.
That's fair.
Okay. It's the Lakers.
So let's get your.
So I don't like.
I like how you say Lakers. It makes it sound like regal.
It's yes,
like Lakers.
It's like this purple and gold.
Jack Nicholson.
Purple is the color of royalty.
Yes, true.
Mm-hmm. So it's like I don't. So the notion that it's like he's taking it. That's that part I don't like about it. Here's the thing I realized: watching LeBron do what he does, and I sat courtside the first game of the championship. He dropped 63. It was insane.
Yes.
And that's the first time I'd ever seen him, and I was lucky enough to sit. Courtside and see it. He's a beast. There's no one like him. I've been watching basketball my whole life. And so if you just look at the game and how he plays it, he's amazing. It's the everything around LeBron gets to be tiresome for me.
Agreed.
I just get tired of it. I get it. He's thank you. Please, can we just stop for a minute?
Yeah.
So, but that's not his fault.
Yeah. No, it's true.
It's everybody else's fault.
Do you remember, did you go to the Showtime Lakers? Did you go to Lakers?
Oh, yeah. I had season seats. I was there for the Baby Hook in the Garden.
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, I was at Kirk Gibson's home. I have like weird sports mojo.
That's awesome.
I really do.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, yeah, like the Forrest Gump of LA sports.
Yeah, no, it's true.
All the great times.
Yeah. I was there for Tyson biting the ear off of Vanderbilt.
Wow.
It's like weird. When I'm around weird stuff happens.
So what was it like watching the Lakers in the 80s? That whole like scene and party. Did you ever get to go to the sauna with Magic Johnson?
No, just Dr. Buss.
Okay, yeah.
I liked the sauna with Dr. Buss. Yeah.
But I watch old videos and I'm like, this is just insanity. Like the celebrities that show up, the style they played, like the event, would it be something different?
The press, not the Forum Club, because that's where the plebs went, right? Mm-hmm. The press lounge, which you guys in theory would have been able to go to.
Yes.
Journalists.
Right? So you're journalists.
Yes. Yeah. What went on the press lounge?
That was where basically Charlie Sheen was the doorman, so you can do the math.
That sounds incredible.
Was he always crazy, Charlie Sheen? You grew up with him.
Yeah, he'd throw about 94.
That's crazy.
He'd legitimately throw 94, and it was crazy.
I know that he played baseball, and obviously he legit. Played a very famous baseball role.
Yeah, he's legit.
Yeah.
But that era was great, and also the game was so different.
Right.
It's a different game. I mean, listen, I love LeBron, but what we used to call carries. Mm-hmm, he carries on every possession.
Yep.
Every possession.
Yep.
And
he's actually never scored a point. And everything's a carry.
Yeah, under the 1980 rules, Allen Iverson ruined basketball for everybody when he started palming the ball.
Yeah. So he palms and also he's got that hand out.
Yep. Yeah. Stiff arm.
So he's allowed to hand check. But the defense is.
That's right. Right. Yeah. So
Jordan is the GOAT. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Listen, I'm just saying the game. Look, he's playing by the rules. Those are the rules, and he's the best that's ever played. So I don't want to be like I'm in a LeBron here, because I'm not. But as a longtime basketball fan, and then somebody who got busy with other sports for a while and came back to it, when I sat, like I said, right there and watch it, the game is 1,000,000,000%.
It is. Different. It is.
So we have to ask you this as a Lakers fan: who are your top four Lakers of all time? We personally don't care, but you have to ask it. It's like legal when you have somebody from LA on our show.
So you don't like the Lakers? Is that what's...
No, I'm just saying it's a big LA discussion.
I'm always a Magic guy. Always going to be a Magic guy. It's part of it. I think is the era that you are young and you're the same age as the players. Yeah. I think you're always just going to connect to them better. So Magic 1,000,000,000%. And then I think it's so hard. See, I didn't see Wilt or Jerry West play. Right,
you got to throw them on there. Just as a logo,
they're up there. Yeah. But then what do you do? Who would guard Shaq today?
No one.
Who would guard him today?
Yeah.
Well, we were just talking about, I think that the Kobe Shaq three-peat team would destroy Steph Curry's team.
Interesting.
Ooh, that's a hot take. That is a hot take.
Because who would guard Shaq?
Who would guard Steph or Kevin Durant?
Or Clay.
Yeah.
When you got all three of them on the court, it changes the math.
You know what you do, though? It's like you go, look, if they're going to bomb from outside and beat you, they will beat you, and that's it. But they're not coming inside, so just let them do it. Live and die by the three. Let them live and die by the three.
So my top four Lakers all time.
Which, by the way, in those, that's the thing that I got to spend some time with Steve Kerr, and I was like, dude, you and I are the same generation. A guy inbounds the ball in a pivotal moment and dribbles 5 feet from the half court line and heaves it up, you'd be on the bench.
Right. Yeah. And he's making it at like 45%.
You'd be on the bench. In our day, you would immediately be sat on the bench and you might not touch the ball for the rest of the game.
He was known as like the greatest shooter or one of the best shooters in that era.
Yeah.
And even he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, he couldn't touch the court.
My top four are Shaq, Nick Van Exel, Steve Nash, and LeBron.
Oh, I was going to say
Gary Payton.
Gary Payton, Karl Malone, maybe too.
If you're going with that list, you got to put Dwight Howard at number one.
Dwight Howard.
You guys are missing out big time. It's Robert Horry, number one.
Yes.
Count the rings.
Yeah.
True. I'm all about the rings in the argument.
Big LeBron shot Bob.
Yes.
Yeah. He's never missed a shot in the fourth quarter.
Robert Horry look at the players we've had. I mean,
Lamar Odom. The list goes on.
Decent, whatever.
Lamar Odom, he gets a bum rap. He was actually pretty good for a couple of years.
Absolutely. Lamar Odom, when he was good, was a guy who will give you 20 more wins than you would otherwise have during the season and nothing in the offseason.
Yeah, he would kind of disappear every at times. Yeah.
That was the thing. And you know, he's famous for apparently eating sugar a lot. This is the local thing?
Yeah.
Like that, I just love that they bring him a bag of sugar in, like sweet tarts, I don't know what all, and he would just go wild.
You strike me as a guy who doesn't eat any sugar.
I woke up in the middle of the night last night and pounded some Haagen-Dazs.
You're confusing him with Chris Traeger.
Literally, woke up and did it. Okay. Yeah. Which is even worse.
Yeah. So, all right, so let's do some acting talk.
All right.
So you're an actor.
Good question.
Act.
They say.
Do a bit.
Make me believe that you're not you.
I've been doing a good job of making you believe that I'm interested?
Yes. Exactly. You've done a great job. Uh-huh. That's great. No, seriously, though. So you've been in Hollywood for what, 30 years? 40 years. Yeah. So you started, I'm always interested at guys like you have such a long career, and like you basically shot out of a cannon when you're such a young age. Yeah. How much of a mind fuck is that when you have that type of celebrity and fame at such a young age, basically overnight?
Well, when you're going through it, you don't know anything different. So it's only with some time and perspective that you look back on it and go, what the fuck just happened to me? And, you know, I have two sons and they are now older than I was when I was at a stage in my life where I was like running through airports, hiding from people who wanted to rip my clothes off. Mm-hmm. And that's such a weird thing. Like that's not many people are ever going to experience that.
Right.
And looking at it through the prism of my own kids, I know what it would do to their heads. Like, and so I can figure out what it did to me. And
right.
You never come out of it. There's no way you come out of it with a normal perspective on mm-hmm. life. It's impossible. You can't.
Was there a moment where you're like, okay, I'm not a normal guy anymore. Like it's over. I can never turn back to just be regular Rob Lowe.
No, you never think that way because it's you and right. you don't know anything differently. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, so that never enters your mind and it seems normal to you. Like that's your everyone's reality is going to seem normal to them.
Mm-hmm. While you're going through that kind of first stage of just having like the immediate success in Hollywood, would you stop and just be like, this is fucking awesome the whole time? Or were you just like riding the wave?
I was always like, this is great, but what's next? Mm-hmm. I was like, I've always been really driven and I was driven then. And to this day, I mean, I have enough perspective and enough gratitude to get what I've been able to do and all of that. And I don't begrudge it and I celebrate it. But it's very much about thinking about, okay, that's great, but now what?
Yeah.
Is your face insured?
Lloyd's of London.
Ooh. Is it really?
Yeah. Do people do Lloyd's? Is that like an old fashioned
that's
thing?
Very, yeah, no, that's real. That's a very Rick Riley reference.
Yeah.
You would say.
I know enough about you guys to know that that is not a compliment.
No, it's not.
He's stuck in the year 1992, kind of. But yeah. like, has your face ever been insured?
By Geico? No, is that better? Like, is it a better joke?
Yeah, you know,
like
that's better.
Yeah, that's good. Do, like Deshaun Watson's knee was insured when he was a senior at Clemson or a junior at Clemson.
I myself as in my totality, because you know, I'm more than just a face,
right?
Don't you know?
Right.
So, my
you're
totality.
Also, you got
is,
great hair too. Yeah.
Yeah. There's new hair. This is the summer haircut as of yesterday.
That's a quote. I read a quote that you're a benevolent narcissist.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's Rashida Jones came up with that. And I had never heard the term and I love it.
Do you think that describes you?
1,000,000,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read a quote from you. You said that there's a bias against good looking people in Hollywood. I agree.
Yeah,
as a
there is and there
person.
Isn't that I bet you that's a dated quote, and I bet you it's a little out of context. So here's what it is: there's a bias against everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a bias, right? So by default, there's a bias against good looking people. And look at like Cary Grant, never won an Oscar. Paul Newman, that'd be 80 before he won one. Redford's never won one for acting. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with comedy. I think that there's a sort of sense that you can't have depth and substance and also be.
Do you think, I feel like that's kind of like getting typecast. Do you think you've ever been typecast? And
I might have felt that way earlier. I don't now. In fact, that's one of the great joys is, you know, I can do play like a maniac on Californication, like Eddie Nero, and then at the same time be playing Chris Traeger, and at the same time be playing JFK, and then be playing like Drew Peterson. So mm-hmm.
We're going to get to that because that's like, my favorite movie that you've ever done.
Did you like? So you saw? Did you see it?
Like
it's fun.
100
right?
times.
It's fun.
100 times. I'm untouchable, bitch.
I love it.
Yeah. No, that's. You want to talk about? You want to just talk about that?
Yeah, because okay, I mean right. that's look yeah, yeah. that move that part mm-hmm. is like when they offered it to me. I go, "There's how do I?
This
how am
absurd.
I ever going to play
did
it?
You
this
read the script and you're like, So the kid walks in, sees me having sex, and says, no, let him watch so they know why they call me Big Daddy.
I was
like, this is insane.
I was like, I'm so there for that. I'm like, are you fucking getting me? I'm so doing that. Wait, I'm going to be in a prosthetic nose, eyes, ears.
You played it well. You played it very well.
It made me, I had the best time ever doing it.
Because you captured that, like, okay, it's Rob Lowe, but he's kind of creepy here, which, yeah. I mean, Drew Peterson, bad guy.
Yeah.
Pretty well-known bad guy.
Yeah.
And you captured that, like, this guy just makes you uncomfortable being around him.
Yeah, thank you. I love playing that part. And that's, like, there's no way anybody asks me to play that part earlier in my career.
Mm-hmm.
And that they would think of me to do it was awesome. And I took it not knowing and not having any idea how I would ever do it. I watched tons and tons and tons and tons of tape, and he was always like showing up on like Shepard Smith.
Oh yeah, weird, because he was a murderer, yeah. Who loved the camera. Yeah,
and he had a great voice and really weird. I rewrote the script and took all his actual things he actually did say because they were more insane.
Yep.
Than what they wrote.
Yep.
And I was just.
How many takes did you take for the I'm Untouchable Bitch scene?
Well, that's one where even I went, is this too much? Have we gone too far?
No,
here?
It was.
And they're like, no.
Just enough.
This is just where you want
it. I saw it for the first time about 5 minutes.
I just showed
before
it
you
him.
Sat down. Goosebumps.
Yeah. that garage door going up and down.
Right?
It was beautiful cinematography.
Yeah.
We had the cinematographer did the Abyss. And Backdraft.
Okay. Big, so am I the first person to say that was my favorite role you played?
Yes, you actually are the
love
first.
It. Perfect.
Good. Good.
Yes.
And I'm happy about that.
I have seriously seen that movie many, many times.
I'm very proud of it. Yeah. I wish more. Well, by the way, it was a huge hit. So it was fun is people have seen it.
Yes.
But people go, oh, Sam Seaborn in the West Wing. They go, whatever they do.
Drew Peterson, I'm an untouchable bitch.
I love it.
I'm a little bit more of a basic bitch. I was a big fan of Chris Traeger.
Thank you.
Parks and Rec.
Mm-hmm.
I've fallen asleep watching that on Netflix many, many times. So like your lines have subconsciously seeped into
good,
head.
Good. That's a good one.
When you first showed up, I guess what was it, season two?
Yeah,
that the character
right at the end of season two.
Were there any plans at all for you to stick around as long as you did?
So the very quick Reader's Digest, because it's kind of interesting, was they were thinking about my agents wanted me to join 30 Rock, and they thought that I would be a good nemesis for Alec Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
And which would be genius.
Yes.
And so there was discussions at NBC about it. And NBC was like, interesting. I'll tell you what, we have another idea. Would he ever think about joining Parks and Recreation? And we're like, huh. I hadn't seen the show at that point. I knew of it. My kids liked it. John Owen loved it. And that's how the whole thing started. And I met with Mike Schur, who created the show and runs it.
Actually, one of the original Blog Boys.
Yeah,
Mike Schur.
Yeah, of course.
Fire
with
Joe Morgan.
What is it? Fire Joe Morgan.
Yeah. Have you ever
Which
read
is
that
offensive
website?
To me as a Big Red Machine guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a Big Red Machine guy, Joe Morgan is on Mount Rushmore.
But he also doesn't know what numbers are. So that's
is that what
it,
I've? Mike and I had many conversations about this. And he was never ever able to articulate to me in a way that I could understand what the fuck the problem was with Joe Morgan.
Joe Morgan just doesn't believe that numbers have any place inside a sport
old school
at all.
Baseball.
Very old
It's
school.
Really old
school. So, yeah, he actually would say things like, I think we talked about this the other week, like David Eckstein, you might almost want a guy like that on your team over A-Rod.
Right, right.
Like the best baseball player of all time.
Okay.
So, like, that, Joe Morgan would go down that route, and then Michael Schur started blogging about it with some other writers. It was actually like a great website. I don't know if you've ever
read it.
No,
it was great.
Stuff.
It was really
hilarious
great.
Stuff.
And Joe Morgan would be like the best player in Major League Baseball is whoever has the most RBIs. That kind of stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's like, well, everyone in front of him gets on base all the time, but that's getting home too runs, much in the weeds
right.
here with
right.
numbers.
Yeah. Home runs are rally killers.
Yes.
Because
it's
yeah.
hilarious. That's it. Great. Yes. That's taken to the end. Home runs are rally killers.
Yeah. So you have this conversation about joining Parks and Rec, and what was like when they wrote this role for you? You're like, this is perfect.
And they did. They wrote it for me.
Yeah.
And I think they were already going to bring Adam Scott on, and then they decided to team us up. And Chris Traeger kind of morphed. He was originally the smiley, happy guy in the room who walked out of the room and had everybody murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was like that guy. And if you look at the first time he shows up on the show, he is that guy. And then it quickly morphed into him being who he became, who is just the most positive man in the universe.
Who loves bureaucracy.
Who just loves everything.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I love playing the character. And it was going to be 6 episodes, and then we were going to reassess and see if I was happy and if they were happy. And I remember we were doing an episode called The Flu Season, where Chris gets the flu.
You were in shock that your body betrayed you.
That's right. And yeah. I look in the mirror and say, "Stop pooping." And that was an ad lib that I came up with on the spot. And I think that was the moment that we all were like, all right, this is going to work.
So did you know when you're doing a show like that, or maybe even a movie, do you know right away, like, this is going to be great?
Or, sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. And then sometimes, what's a case where you maybe did a show or a movie and it didn't feel great, but then afterwards everyone's like, this was unbelievable.
Yeah. No, that's happened. I mean, look, acting, when you hear actors talk, and I love my fellow actors, but sometimes listening to actors talk, I want to jump off of a building. Mm-hmm. And there's sort of this sense that it's something other than a job, right? Like architects don't get to, they don't go, oh, I'm not going to, I will not build an A-frame. I simply won't do it. Right. It's like, that's, they build houses. That's right. What they do.
Right.
So I play parts. I do things. That's what I do. Not all of them are necessarily my taste,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think to think otherwise is just self-aggrandizing BS.
Right. Everything that you've done has been like exactly what Rob Lowe wanted to do.
No, it's just not the way it works. Yeah. I mean, you try to, but and I've been lucky enough that a lot of it is. But I'll be like, there are times where I'm like on Brothers and Sisters, and I'm doing a scene with Sally Field, and she's making a brisket, and I'm like wearing oven mitts, and I'm like, you know.
It's a paycheck.
No, I'm not feeling that.
Is that a conscious decision? Because I know all my knowledge of Hollywood I learned from Entourage. So
yes.
You have to do like the blockbuster movies to do the passion projects. Would you actually have that out? Like, okay, this year I have to do something to get my name out there, cash a big paycheck, then I can go do the passion project.
I think it's not quite as...
You're telling me it's not... Entourage isn't real?
It's not...
what you're saying?
By the way, now everybody... It's become real because every agent
right.
grew up going, I want to be like Ari Gold. Yes. So now every agent is like Ari Gold.
Yeah, right.
Everybody. It's become real.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what I always do is I try to find something that has a resonance to me always. And I have enough opportunity that I can do that. I've never had to just suck it up and just do something that I didn't like doing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always going to be things that speak to you more than others.
Right.
Always.
Right.
Everything I learned about Hollywood comes from Charlie Kaufman, an adaptation.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Is there anything that you've like had a real passion about doing that's gotten stuck and has never actually come to fruition? Like what's one project that
I've been trying to get this amazing Civil War miniseries where I play Ulysses Grant off of the ground, because I love a Gettysburg. That movie is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm big and just the brother against brother, country split apart, you know, it's so rich and it's such a part of it. I love it, and I just cannot. It's a great script, and you know, just keeps every year it almost gets made and it almost gets made and it almost gets made.
You know what the issue is?
Hmm.
So as Americans, we've become too desensitized to having machine guns in our war movies.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have the guns that fire like once every 45 seconds, it's boring. It's
watching chess.
So here's what you do.
I also think the problem is beards.
Yeah.
A lot of beards.
Yep.
Yeah. Beards are out.
A lot of beards. Time. You think, well, actually, beards are not. I'm in this room right now. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 and a half.
Yeah.
There's 4 and a half, and then John Owen's trying to grow it. That's a lot of beards in the room. You think?
That's a nice
Now
thing.
It's time to revisit the Civil War.
That's true. Thank, I just have my beard because I have a fat
face. Thank you for
face,
considering so. Me to have a beard.
Yeah.
That's actually made my life.
It's 100%
you think
a beard.
That this qualifies
really?
As
you want to take
beard.
That back?
So here's what you do to get a pitch.
That's the worst thing he said on this podcast.
Get it made by just pitching it as a Civil War movie, except with machine guns. Just like one minor alteration.
We could do that.
Or do the movie of your great grandfather. We were reading that. We read your Wikipedia.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So tell that.
So my family has no lore about it. There's no like, well, you know, your great grandfather. There's never a story. Like I can't get anything out of people. Like nobody knows anything about our family history. Nothing. So I did this show called Who Do You Think You Are? Where they put genealogists on you for 2.5 years and they research everything. And if they find something great, they take you on a journey to find it. But you don't know where you're going. They just say pack warm clothes or pack cold clothes, and you have 8 days. So I found through doing this that my five-time great-grandfather was an 18-year-old conscripted into the Hessian army to fight for England in the Revolutionary War in America. Hmm. He arrived in New York Harbor in 1776 and fought George Washington. Wow. In the Battle of New York, the Battle of the Palisades, and was in the camp in Trenton when Washington crossed the Delaware.
Holy shit.
And surprised them on Christmas Eve. Now, my house is modeled after Mount Vernon. I have a portrait of George Washington in my living room. I didn't know any of this.
Wow, that's crazy.
So and then my five times great-grandfather was taken prisoner by the Americans and then renounced his citizenship, became an American citizen, and then began to fight for the revolution.
So he was like the Kevin Durant of soldiers. He was a front runner too, just like you.
Fucking front runner. Yeah, that's where I get it. Yeah. I never put that together. Thank you.
Yes. He loved excellence.
I've gotten more out of this than any psychiatry that I've had in 30 years.
You're welcome.
Explain why
you're on the winning side.
I'll send you he likes winners.
That's so great. That's it. It's in your blood.
He doesn't like winners.
Nothing you can do. It's nature versus nurture. You were born this way.
Eugenics. Is that what they call it?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Eugenics. Not that smart.
Eugenics.
Eugenics.
That's kind of a different thing. That goes to a dark place. Let's talk about some of your other rules. Actually, from your perspective, we do a lot of FMKs on this show. You ever play FMK? Just guy talk?
Yeah.
Fuck, marry, kill?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you were to fuck, marry, kill three of the characters that you've played, who would they be?
Oh, geez. Oh, God. Of my?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So at some point, I'm killing myself and having sex with myself?
It's pretty electric. Yeah.
Just a tip, I would not marry Drew Peterson because you'll probably end up dead.
No, because he would kill you.
Yeah.
So I'd two for pick.
Yeah. I would kill Drew Peterson.
Okay, good call.
Because he would kill me.
Yes, correct.
I think I'd like to have sex with my character from St. Elmo's Fire.
Okay.
Because I look a little bit like a woman in it anyway. Yeah. And mm-hmm. And
you're a narcissist, so it really doesn't matter.
A little on the young side. Yeah.
And the hair. Yeah. The hair is really good.
Yes.
I could kind of imagine, I could close my eyes and it could be a girl.
Yeah. Okay.
I get that a lot.
And then Mary. Favorite role ever?
Mary. I want to go with Sam Seaborn on The West Wing.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a good easy, good safe good choice.
I kind of have a bone to pick with you about The West Wing, though. So it was a great character, great show, but you kind of convinced a generation of nerds that got into politics that compromise would be the way to solve everything. And it turns out that everybody just doesn't compromise and they all hate each other. It was like a very idealistic show, right?
Yeah, totally.
Which made it great. But then people try to take what they saw in The West Wing and put it into practice in real politics. And it doesn't work like that all the time.
No, it doesn't. It totally doesn't. It's like anything else. It's like the movie version. It never really works out in the real world. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, but I will. It's what's really been great is there are people today in the government that are only there because of The West Wing. Last time I was at the White House was during Obama's tenure, and I came in on the weekend, and every single member of the speechwriting team came in on their time off to say hello, and his then speechwriter was like, Sam Seaborn was my idol. I became a speechwriter because of Sam.
That's awesome.
And you go, wow, it affected someone's life in that way. It's amazing to me.
And you said that actors don't have a higher power. Come on.
We do. Look, yeah. I just don't like the self-seriousness. But listen, but that's saying I'm inspired by people. People are inspired by people. I'm inspired by actors. I'm inspired by great work, by movies, by athletes. No, we do have that power to inspire people. It's true.
All right. Who was the bigger dickhead, your role in Tommy Boy or in Wayne's World? Hated both of them.
Oh, boy. They're both make me laugh so hard. I think the bigger dickhead is the Tommy Boy character.
Yeah, that is really fucked up. Yeah.
He was lit, like David Spade calls him Lee Harvey Oswald,
right?
Because of the haircut.
Yes.
I mean, he was a bad mofo.
Who do you get recognized more as?
Tommy Boy.
Tommy Boy?
100%.
Yeah.
Tommy Boy is a big thing.
Yeah.
It's a big, I'm surprised at the amount of staying power that movie
has. Oh, absolutely.
Has.
I mean,
because Trey Wingo talks about it like every single day.
Yeah, people love it.
Yeah. Show, yeah. No, but yeah, I mean, we're both 33. Like, that was probably, was like the first funny movie I ever watched. Where really? I was like, oh my God, that's really, really funny.
It really holds up. It's a good one.
You remember when your balls got hit over and over again going through that like conveyor line at the
end? Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Sandbag.
Classic guy.
Yep. Yeah.
Counterpoint to that, your character in Wayne's World had some pretty hateable pants.
Really
the big
bad.
Like
we had a big wardrobe issue on that show. Like Lorne Michaels, who's a genius, didn't like my wardrobe early on. I was in suits originally, and then he didn't like the suits, and I was wearing like sportwear. But there's the pleats. There's a lot of pleats. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's really. I mean, that is the height of what was 1991?
Early 90s.
Yeah, early 90s. I mean, woof. Yeah.
That guy, Benjamin Crane, real big dickhead.
Dick.
Yeah.
Great dick.
Yeah. And it stole the girlfriend. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a theme for you.
Here's what I realize is that I used to think that people didn't, that they could separate.
No.
They don't. No. What I know is I now realize is like, I used to think you were such a dick. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Like, well, because of Wayne's World. I'm like, really?
I think Chris Traeger has kind of taken that away, though.
Yes,
like that
for
has
sure.
Washed that a little bit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm no longer playing the comedy dick villain.
Right.
I did it. It was great. It was really fun. I was good at it. But it's like it's run its course.
You know, party that wants to get back to that.
I'd still play a great dick.
Yeah,
you would. If thinking,
you do have the look.
You always have a little bit of dick in you.
Yeah,
you gotta have. If you don't have any edge, you're just a Canadian.
Yes, that's a great quote. That's a great quote. That's
put that on a t-shirt, quote. Hank.
Yes, yes.
We won't give you any cut of that.
Should I dye my hair?
No.
You dye your hair?
No.
Yeah, you do.
No.
I thought I read a quote that said you dye your hair.
If I'm playing a part, I'll dye it for the part. But if, like in my real life, no.
You don't dye your hair.
But it was online. It said that you dyed your hair.
You should probably get that fixed.
No.
Online it says that you dye
your hair. Here's what's interesting. When I played Drew Peterson, he has gray hair, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to wear a wig. So I had them dye my hair gray, which, by the way, I don't ever recommend dyeing your hair gray. Okay. Shouldn't dye your hair. Mm-hmm. Definitely don't dye your hair gray.
Right.
It took me 9 hours to get my hair gray. And before I played the part, I had to do this big press event. And so there are all these photos of me on a press line with gray, real gray hair. And people think it's real. Okay. That's where that all came from. People was like, oh my God, he stopped dyeing his hair.
So you never dye your hair?
No.
You don't think I should. You see this?
Dude, it looks great.
That's a lie. You're an actor.
Here's the thing about that though. When your hair starts going gray, the only thing is you have to keep it short.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
That's the only thing.
Or do the Poly Walnuts wingtips.
You cannot have long gray hair. That's a no-fly zone.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Who was the best athlete in the Brat Pack?
Oh, athlete. Ooh. Well, good question. If you consider Charlie in the Brat Pack.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he had great cardio.
Then it would be Charlie.
Yeah, heart rate through the roof.
Judd Nelson was the greatest, best basketball player. And but he always played with his shoes untied. I don't know what that was.
At what point was the Brat Pack like, okay, we're going to all go our separate ways? Was it weird? Was it awkward?
No. We didn't have a breakup or something.
Yeah. Well, it's so like funny the Beatles. It's so funny thinking about like the Brat Pack, right?
There's no Yoko Ono.
Well, because now.
Who is the Vinny Chase of the Brat Pack? Yeah. Give us terms we can understand.
Yeah, now everything has to be an entree.
Yeah. if the Brat Pack existed now, it would be a text chain where everyone texts, and then you've been on one of those where you just kind of. Someone just stops texting and then all of a sudden it just dies.
Yeah, 100%.
But for the Brat Pack, you had to do that in person.
Yes.
So one of you like, I'm not talking to you anymore?
We just got busy.
Got it.
We got busy and then I also think, I mean, some people get married.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
You actually said that. I read that quote that I found interesting where you said like with friends and in life, you give them a chance to evolve with you. And if they don't, it's just... They kind of fall behind.
It's hard. I mean, and I'm not in any way insinuating that I evolved to some higher level, but you have different priorities. You know, it's very hard. Like when you're married, you're drawn to other people who are married, going through what you're going through. If you have kids, you're drawn to people who are having kids. You know, if you're single, I don't want to hang around a bunch of people with screaming brats around. You know what I mean? So it's like there's that element of it, I think.
Have you ever thought about joining Scientology?
I shot in the Scientology Center once, and they had the Dianetics book, so I had a lot of time on my hands.
Uh-oh.
And I read. Do you know guys what the tone scale is? Dude, the tone scale is my favorite part about Scientology.
Is that when they like inject you and then read your theta levels?
No, the tone scale is so I was obsessed with learning about it because I had this time on my hands.
I'm interested. Right now, I'm so anticipating the story that basically halfway in Scientology.
You sell us on Scientology. Yeah.
So here's the great irony is I'm not a Scientologist, nor do I want to be.
No,
and,
wink.
And the end of the day, wink.
Of course not.
I'm playing footsie with you now. So the tone scales, I'm supposed to figure out what tone you're coming at me on, like with zero being you're dead, you're nothing to say.
Jim Caldwell.
To like 100 where you're screaming at me. And I'm
Jim Harbaugh,
Tom Sula,
the gym scale. You got to talk to us in football.
And I'm supposed to find that tone scale and then come at you either one or two below or above that tone scale. So there's always a mathematical equation when you talk to anybody.
That's something.
So it's like you're mad. It's just like personality matching, basically.
It's really odd. So no, the other thing I've always wondered is like, you know, when they have you come in and you're supposed to grab the cans. And they have cans that you touch, I guess.
This is Scientology?
No, this is 100%. No, this is 100% Scientology. Okay. And then they ask you questions about your life. And then based on the E-meter, they know whether you have tension around it. And do you have a good relationship with your mother? And then they read it. But then the theory
is... What's your deepest, darkest secret so we can hold you hostage for the rest of your life?
Right. And I want to know, how do they get to the deepest, darkest secrets? They're like, well, how does that like actually go down? So like, you know, when they have the goods on you?
Yeah.
So it's like... Have you ever lied? Yes. Have you ever had a parking ticket? Yes. Have you ever had sex with a man you regretted? Yes. I mean, well, I don't know. Yeah, I just don't
then
know.
You just start going, yeah. Right.
How do they get the goods on you?
Right, yeah.
I want to be the guy that puts that question in.
They have
in a way
the
that
best
you don't notice.
Interrogators.
Imagine how successful you could have been if you had become a Scientologist.
Mm-hmm. You could have actually had a good acting career.
Yeah.
It could have been amazing.
Yeah. It'd be even better looking.
What's in your rider?
Look at John Travolta.
My rider?
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in riders.
Yep.
There are things we earn,
mm-hmm.
And you work hard to get them.
Yep.
When you're a young punk
coming
up, you should be, you know, in the small dressing room and sweating your fucking ass off.
Mm-hmm.
And you let the big dog come in. You know, it's like in the NBA.
Yeah.
Rookies carry the bags.
Yes.
I'm a big believer in protocol and all that stuff.
So what's the weirdest thing in your rider?
The weirdest thing? My stuff is really it's really straightforward. I'm trying to think. What is it? It's satellite TV.
Okay.
That's a must. Dressing room. I gotta watch my sports.
Yep.
Are you just saying that because of those commercials where it was like, hey, I'm Rob Lowe and I'm
nice.
They didn't even give me free DirecTV.
Really?
Wow.
They paid me a lot of money.
Yeah. So you could have bought it.
But no free. Yeah, I guess that was their thing.
Yes, yeah.
Like, we're paying.
It's a whole thing, though. You got to call them and installed.
Any kind of weird candy or anything?
No. I used to have, like, you know, gum and stuff like that. But I'm healthy as hell now, so it's all just. But I don't have any weird stuff. That's all in the music business.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not washing my hair in Evian or anything.
I just want to get to a point where I have a rider at some point and just put just random shit.
Here's what I want to get to. I want to get to a point where I have a studio pay for me to be juiced up with the top doctors with all kinds of performance enhancing.
Yep.
I want that.
Have you ever taken HGH?
I legitimately want them to go, hey, guess what? I don't necessarily want to do a Marvel movie to do a Marvel movie. I want to do a Marvel movie.
Play a boxer.
Somebody gets me ripped and puts me on drugs that I would never do in my real life.
Right.
But so now I have an excuse to.
Right.
Yeah, it's for a role.
It's for a role.
So right. Exactly.
Never taken a PD.
Yeah, I want that Hugh Jackman Wolverine coming out of the fucking crazy shot body.
Absolutely.
I mean, look at Sly. Sly's what, like 65, 7 years old?
Yeah.
Like that? He looks
and
like he's
doing
35.
He knows his stuff.
Yeah. He's doing it.
Oh, yeah. Well, the best was, and I've known him forever, and he's the greatest. And he was like, I'm recently very obsessed with my forearms. I was like, what? And he's like,
well, when you think about it, all you have to do is you roll your shirt up and everybody sees it.
So
smart.
No, no one is better at like telling you what the term is show muscles.
Right.
Like, so and his thing is it's biceps and abs.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, he's added forearms.
Cutting corners, yeah.
Forearms.
Like forearms right there.
That's good.
I like that a lot.
I get a lot of forearm workout in, yeah.
You almost dated Madonna. What does
Tried
that
to.
What does that mean? So we both almost dated Madonna.
Yeah. How did you?
I mean, I feel like we feel like I got just as close as you.
Okay, now.
Yeah.
Jose Canseco said that, too.
I do not think so.
What does that mean, though? You almost dated Madonna.
I tried my hardest. This is like Material Girl time.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, you know,
biggest star in the world.
Biggest star in the world, Minx. And you know, I was sending her. I think I might have even sent her flowers. And you know, it was one of those things where it was like, you know, like when it's on, it's on. Like,
yeah.
It was. But she was on tour, and I was doing this, and then we finally met in New York, and then you know, then she got busy, and I lost her one night at a club and couldn't find her, and you know, and then it just never happened.
Damn.
That's, I mean, Jose Canseco has the same story.
Yeah.
Really?
Actually, he said that she wanted to date him and that he kicked her to the curb because she wasn't attractive enough for him.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. But Jose Canseco, we know he tells the truth.
Yeah.
A confirmed truth teller, Jose Canseco.
All I know about Jose Canseco is I saw him hit a home run in a World Series game in Dodger Stadium that dented a camera in center field.
I believe it. I saw that. All right. So what about the fake saxophone story? I want to hear about that.
Just that I'm...
What happened?
So here's the thing. I do a one-man show, and everybody who's listening to this podcast, check and make sure I'm not coming to your town to do my one-man...
Yeah, yeah.
To do my one-man show.
What's your next one? What's coming up?
I will get you the dates, and we'll put them in. And I do a big, like, 15-minute set piece on my fake saxophone playing.
Perfect. Do it right now. 15 minutes.
Well, I mean...
We'll leave the room.
I don't know if I do 15 minutes. But I fake play it in St. Albans. I don't really play the saxophone. I don't do anything for real. I fake do everything. I fake fight. I fake hockey and Youngblood. I fake government and West Wing. I can fake do so many things. Great. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I do. Mm-hmm. So we're doing a political fundraiser for then President Clinton, and David Foster, who wrote St. Elmo's Fire, says, why don't you come up and fake play the saxophone? It's going to be great. It'll be, people will laugh. It'll be really fun. I go, that'll be great. So we start playing it, the sax, I come up, and I'm literally, there's a guy behind a curtain playing it, and I'm faking it. And I look out in the audience and they're buying it hook, line and sinker. Now my actor's ego is getting involved.
You're like, I'm really playing
this.
I'm
like, I'm fucking crushing this.
Yeah.
I'm killing this. And I'm like, wait a minute. Now what do I do? And so I don't have the guts to bail on the bit. Mm-hmm. Like I thought I'd eventually just stop playing and like drink water while and everybody would laugh. But now they think I'm doing it. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm doing it. And I look and like President Clinton's like, woo-hoo! Like giving me the thumbs up. And in the front row is Quincy Jones. Now I'm like thinking, Quincy, you're close enough to feel there's no air coming out
right.
of this. Mm-hmm. Like the horn bell's right. There's nothing. Come on, you're Quincy Jones.
Right.
And he's like, brother, I didn't know you could play. Mm-hmm. And... So, and now I get back to my seat. Now my wife is furious with me. She's like, that was terrible. You can't like foist that on these people. So we bail and I forget. I try to pretend like it never happened. I get a letter from President Clinton like 2 weeks later going, I had no idea. You were such a great saxophone player. And we're going to do a duet when you come to Washington. And I was like, oh my fucking God.
You president picked Clinton, the one president who played the
who
saxophone.
Who plays the fucking saxophone. Yeah. So then I went into a shame spiral about, you know, like pulling one over on the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. So and then I called David Foster and I'm like, look, this is not good. I don't know. I'm going to see him again. And then I'm going to say what? It was a joke. And then he's going to feel like a fool. That's mm-hmm. not good. He said, oh, no, don't worry. I took care of it. He knows you weren't playing. So what do you mean? He goes, I'm in the studio with Barbara Streisand right now. And Barbara's great friends with the president. And I told Barbara and Barbara told him. And I'm like, okay, only I end up in a compromising position with Barbara Streisand, Bill Clinton, over fake playing the saxophone.
I didn't know he had lips like that, Rob. I'd bring you to the White House.
We could wrap those lips around.
That's fantastic.
Would you ever consider playing James Bond?
I'd love to play James Bond.
You'd make a good one.
Kidding me?
Yeah. Can you do any British accent?
Bond. James Bond.
That's good. Yeah.
All right. I could do it. Look, if I can do Drew Peterson's accent and JFK,
yep.
I can do... a rudimentary posh English. I don't think they would ever. Here's what's interesting is I don't think they would ever cast an American.
Yeah,
but it would be good buzz.
It would be good buzz.
Great listen,
buzz.
If you guys can, if you know anybody,
well, we can get pull some strings.
We,
yeah.
we have some friends.
You know,
I'll have Idris Elba killed.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, throw my name.
You know,
I love
Lloyd, Ari Gold's assistant. He can get it for
he
you.
He could do it.
We
yeah.
know him.
Yeah.
He's kind of incompetent, though.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Probably have to go straight to Ari for this.
What's it like always knowing, like, whenever you put on a suit, you're going to look awesome?
That's why I should play Bond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But seriously, that's why I thought of it. Like, what's that like as someone who's never put on a suit and looked good? I would love to know like what it feels like to.
We have to know the secrets.
I look great.
It's all about tailoring.
Yep.
It's all guys always fuck up the tailoring. They get the suit and they think that I like the color. I like that. It's all the tailoring. You know when James Bond wears a suit through that same suit through the movie, there's 21 different versions of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's the one that's tailored for when his hands are up on a motorcycle. Literally, it's tailored for that for the hands to be up. There's one tailored for him running. There's one tailored for he has the vest under it. There's one. So it's all movie magic. It's all about tailoring.
Huh. Interesting.
Most guys don't spend the time to get tailored. Yeah. That's my tip. Short hair, gray, tailor the suit.
About 40 pounds. Gonna look good.
There's that. There's that too.
Have you ever been like uninvited to a wedding or to a wedding party because they're like, hey, we can't have you in the pictures because you're gonna look way better than the groom?
That's never happened to me.
Do you get invited to be in a lot of wedding parties?
That doesn't happen to me.
Okay, that's why.
Okay,
I think
that's exactly why. Connect the dots. You're too good looking for your friends.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We play a little game.
Yes.
When we do our research, we just read Wikipedia. But then Google has this fun thing that said people also ask.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to ask those. But just remember, right. I'm not asking. People are asking. So don't get mad.
Which gives you – I know what this is. Yeah. I know this game.
Yeah.
I know where this is headed.
No.
See, my Spider Spence is telling me that this is headed to a place where you just get to ask shitty questions.
No.
But you get to say that people ask.
I'm not asking.
So I know what's happening here.
First question that people ask, how much is Rob Lowe's net worth? People are asking
People are asking.
I'm not.
I know you're not.
I would appreciate if you answer the people.
Don't
disappoint the people, Rob.
I have a theory that people are always worth way more than you think or way less than you think.
That's a good theory. Okay. I think that's right.
Right?
Because like the people who are worth less will always overstate it and like, you know, be brash about it. And then if you actually have billions, you're not going to be walking
around
being rich.
Which is why Donald Trump never wants to release the tax. It's purely that.
Right.
It's 1,000,000,000%
right.
That.
Right.
That people think he has more money than he does.
Right.
So how much do you have?
How much
do
you got?
Better question. No. How much money do you have on you right now?
None. Famous for it.
So
you know why? Because
you're famous for never having money.
I'm famous for never having money, and here's why. So is JFK, by the way.
In good company.
Because I'm usually in wardrobe, and you don't carry your own wallet in your wardrobe.
So who cares your wallet?
And so you get out of the habit of carrying your wallet.
So who carries it for you?
I have people for that.
Okay.
You get a body man?
All right. I think you just answered the question, by the way. Because you didn't answer it, you probably have more money than we think.
Mm-hmm. That was part of my master plan.
Yes, that's I'm glad right. to see that it worked. The other one is, how old is Rob Lowe now? People are asking that.
I don't lie. People can't lie about their age anymore, can they?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think they can do it in the age of the internet.
Little League World Series, that's about it.
Here's the weird thing is I've actually stopped counting and now I forget, but I actually was reminded of it recently.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 53, is that right?
54. His son's saying 4.
I'm 54. My son's saying 54.
All right, so that was the people ask. The other one was, now that we know you don't have money, the other one people are asking is it true Rob Lowe once gave a couple of podcasters $5,000 because he likes them so much?
Not true.
Okay, people were asking that.
Not true.
Yet. People were asking that. I'm happy that we got to the bottom of that.
It's not happening.
Yes, yes. Okay, we want to do a table reading?
Yeah, let's
do a table reading?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have that? Yeah. All right, so we're going to do a table reading from Wayne's World. I'm going to play the part of Wayne Campbell.
I fucked it up.
I will play the part of Garth Algar.
And you're going to play the part, Rob, of Benjamin Kane.
Assuming.
Yes.
Wayne, listen, we need to have a little talk about Vanderhoff. The fact is, he's the sponsor and you signed a contract guaranteeing him certain concessions, one of them being a spot on the show.
Well, that's where I see things just a little differently. Contract or no, I will not bow to any sponsor.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way, but basically, it's just the nature of the beast.
Maybe I'm wrong on this one, but for me, the beast doesn't include selling out. Garth, you know what I'm talking about, right?
It's like people only do these things because they can get paid, and that's just really sad.
I can't talk about it anymore. It's giving me a headache.
Here, take two of these.
Ah, Nuprin. Little. Yellow. Different.
Look, you can stay here in the big leagues and play by the rules. Or you can go back to the farm club in Aurora. That's your choice.
Yes, and it's the choice of a new generation.
And scene. That was great. All right, let's wrap it up. We got the SeatGeek question. You, promo code TAKE, if you want to go see a winning team, figure out where Rob Lowe is going to see a game, then put in promo code TAKE, you get $10 off. You said before we started you wanted to interview us, so go ahead, Hotshot.
Oh my God! I got
you're
like
a journalist. Right?
Yeah,
I got on, butterflies.
You're yeah. basically sources QAnon for sports.
Okay, like so explain to me the definition of a football guy.
All right.
Ooh, good football question. You know it when you see it.
Yeah, it's like pornography.
You can't. It's. So it's a football guy is a guy, you see it, it's a guy who lives and breathes football, obsessed with football. Football is number one. You know how sometimes people be like, well, God's number one, then my family, then football. Football guys, football is always number one. They're late in the office. You know, they're staying late overnight. They're sleeping in the office. They talk in a lot of cliches.
They take everything very literally, too.
Yes.
So in terms of like motivational techniques, they'll tell you that you have to get gassed up. And so then they'll put cans of gasoline in all your lockers
right.
to remind you.
Very,
you
got
to play with
unsafe.
A lot of juice yes. this week. And then they hand out boxes of juice that you can't drink, but you have to look at.
Yes.
That sort of thing.
Exactly.
Now, to contradict one point Big Cat made, they are God. They'll tell you that they're God guys.
Yeah.
But they're not actually.
They're not.
They just
they're
don't
not.
Go to church. But
they say
God, family, football.
So who's on the Mount Rushmore
I think
of football
this.
Guys? Did you do this?
It was very contentious.
Yeah. So
Who would be on your Mount Rushmore? I'll flip it on you.
Gruden.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
Definitely.
Right?
Yes.
Madden?
Yes.
Madden's a great one.
Yes.
You
got this.
Right? Yeah.
You got this.
Right? I think you got to put Harbaugh.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? So
absolutely.
That's,
you're on the right track.
You know these. Yeah.
So I know a football guy when I see one.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Now, but it's not just being old school, though, because I don't think it's that. Because I don't think... I'm not sure Bear Bryant's a football guy. I don't know. I'm not sure Woody Hayes. Well, I don't know.
Here's a good example. We went to Rams camp. We interviewed Coach Sean McVay.
Yes.
And we've had the debate whether he's a football guy or not because he's got kind of manicured facial hair.
Mm.
But he also talks like a Gruden. So that's a very football guy thing. He basically has let all of his coaches that he's had almost get into his brain and change his dialect.
Mm-hmm.
And he also has a phrase for Rams camp, for the Rams this year, the standard is the standard, which makes absolutely no sense. But then when you ask him about it, he's like, this is what it means. And like he goes on this whole thing. So that is like a football
guy. The standard is the standard is football guy as it gets.
It's right. Mm-hmm. So he's 32 and he's a football guy.
And then you ask him what it means and he says there are four P's that go into it and then three of the P's are the exact same thing.
Right.
It's like practice, preparation. Yeah. What was the other one? Practice, preparation.
Planning.
Planning, yeah. Those are three of the four P's were the exact same thing.
Yeah.
That sounds really complicated.
That's a football
guy.
Yeah. It's they create complicated cliches to basically say, I want to make everyone tough.
Is Belichick's not a football guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Is he?
He's the ultimate football guy because if you watch how he the perfect example of Belichick being a football guy, if he does a press conference and someone asks him a stupid question,
yes,
he'll just like shoo him off. Like, I have no time for
you. Oh, no, it's, yeah.
If someone asks him a detailed football question,
and it's amazing.
He will talk forever. Because you can see him light up
when it's
football.
If I thought the entertainment community and the public generally really could understand Bill Belichick on sight, I absolutely was going to do the next red carpet as Belichick. I would love to get away with what he gets away with.
Yes.
Code Black just got canceled. How do you feel about that? I make the show. I don't program it.
I'm on to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I'm on to the next show.
Yeah.
And it'd be just like, it'd be so great to do a press conference a la Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
You should. And now that you've said it, people won't think you're as big of a dick when you do it.
So that's the thing. I feel if I did it, they'd be like,
you've planted the seed now.
Yeah. But if I wore the hoodie, which he doesn't wear anymore.
Yeah. Headset.
The hoodie, the cutoff sleeves that he's got.
So good.
Just refer to movies as films. Just like we're going to watch the film.
Look at the film, see if you can do anything differently.
Yeah, exactly. So
got
it.
With that voice.
Yeah. All right, Rob Lowe.
That was fun.
This was awesome.
Yeah, thanks for coming
this
on.
This was a bucket list one.
That was fun. Awesome.
Appreciate it. Yeah, and get us those dates so we can put
Sure.
Yeah.
And whatever cash you have.
Yeah.
Sure. The $5,000. That's
you
what you want?
It,
please, can you?
All right, real journalists.
Yeah. No, you're so rich, you don't even know how much money you have.
I have somebody carry the wallet.
Thanks, guys.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com. Okay, let's get to some segments. First up, we have Done or Finished, no jokes, Rick Pitino. Because Rick Pitino has released his new book. We are actually going to be owners of said book as of tomorrow. I bought, PFT and I, two hard copies.
Mm-hmm.
Hard. Extra hard.
Well, they're going to arrive hard.
No jokes.
And then they're going to no go jokes. Soft very quickly.
Okay, so we will have two hard copies delivered to us tomorrow. And we will start doing 15 Seconds with Rick Pitino book review until we get through the whole book. Starting next week. But Rick Pitino says in that book, Rick Pitino believes it's unlikely he will return to coaching. He's finished. He has said it himself.
He's finished.
It's not the first time he said he was finished.
He's finished, though.
He's done.
He's definitely finished.
But is he also done?
I think he's finished but not done.
Okay.
He seems like a natural fit in this new era of a shorter shot clock.
True. Good point. Yeah. It's only two lifetimes basically for every single possession.
Uh-huh.
So finished but not done.
Yes.
But it will only take a little bit of time for him to come back.
That's true.
Like,
yeah.
It's 20 minutes. Give him 20 minutes and he won't be finished anymore. He'll be ready to go again.
That's very true.
Yes. No jokes.
No jokes. Hank, do you have any no jokes to make about Rick Pitino?
I would never do that.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. You are a man of integrity and honor. So when we when the Pitinos come after us, we're going to be like, point to you and be like, that guy.
Because they're coming.
Hank, he didn't say anything about Rick Pitino ejaculating in 15 seconds on the floor of an Italian restaurant.
Well, it was on his leg.
Yeah.
So let's get that straight.
But he was on the floor. So he was down.
He was down.
Yeah, he's down.
He was down by contact.
His shin was down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right. Next up, we have locker room talk. Oh, from one to the next. Rick, we have locker room talk with Jerry Jones. PFT, you have an excerpt from a book. What is this book?
So it's the new book that's about the NFL.
Okay.
I should probably do more research on it, but it is...
Okay. It's out there.
Yeah, it's out there.
Someone figure out what book this is.
It's supposed to be really bad.
It is.
It's the league's worst nightmare. The book the NFL doesn't want you to read.
Oh, they didn't want it published.
They didn't want to publish. And so Jerry Jones sat down with the author and talked about how he has been a success in life during his how he's managed to enjoy his various undertakings as a young man. Jones said he did a stint as a shoe salesman, which he loved. He then said something about spending the afternoon masturbating over selling shoes. Wait, what? I've sold shoes, Jones said again, and I've masturbated in my shoes. Okay, then. We've all been there, I said, trying to be reassuring. Author's note, I've never masturbated into my shoes or anyone's
Liar.
Shoes. Liar. We're deteriorating, Jones acknowledged. But here's my point. I can tell you when I was selling them shoes, and I've sold a bunch of shoes, and I've sold insurance, I promise you the shoe itself won't get it done. The policy itself won't get it done unless you're having fun. So what Jerry Jones is suggesting is to sell the product of the NFL, just all the players need to be jacking off during the games.
Yes. Okay. Into shoes.
Dealer's choice of where you finish.
Right. Got it.
So, yeah. But Jerry Jones apparently masturbated over selling shoes. Now, we can embrace debate over what that means if he actually ejaculated into the shoes.
I'd say, yeah, it was pretty clear.
Cut out the middleman.
No, it was
with
pretty
socks.
Clear. Yeah, it was pretty
Most
clear.
Most guys, they go half-assed.
This is a guy who, if you remember, had some very... He didn't make a mistake when he used glory hole over and over.
No, now we know for sure that Jerry
he's
Jones...
he's a glory hole guy.
Also, I've come to realize Jerry Jones is drunk more often than not.
Yeah, I would say the majority of the time. I'd say 90... Like, his blood is just always has a resting level of alcohol in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. You know, like, you can get the oil out, but it's always... There's always that sheen on the water.
Uh-huh.
That's Jerry Jones' blood.
Oh, I was going to say...
He's always got a little sheen.
sheen of alcohol in it.
And also on his loafers, too. And yes. It's just semen.
Yeah, exactly. Sheen's everywhere.
Yeah.
And his face.
Yeah.
Because of plastic surgery. So he's just glimmering everywhere.
That's very, very true.
Yes. He's just a
That's why he's got nephews hanging out around him with handkerchiefs all the time.
Yeah.
Because he's got to be wiped. His glasses have the sheen on him.
Yes. Jerry Jones is actually that, remember that orb that President Trump touched with, like, the Saudi whoever guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's actually just Jerry Jones. It was just Jerry Jones smiling because they had a new oil deal.
Goddamn Jerry Jones.
Okay, so
spend the afternoon masturbating over selling shoes.
So to clean this up, we still have guys on chicks. We got to navigate through talking tennis. I just realized that.
Why don't we save talking tennis?
Because
this has been.
You know what? Let's just say Roger Federer lost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's
done.
It. Done. We're not a Rick Pitino joke. Tank guys on chicks.
So there's this guy, like, and nothing is wrong with him. What's wrong with him?
Red flag.
Oh, yeah.
Big red flag.
He's too nice. It's like the old Brian Cox. If a man doesn't have a vice,
he's trying
too hard.
He's
probably a serial killer.
Yeah, here, a little piece of information, a little piece of advice to anybody that might be in a new relationship. Fuck up big time in, like, the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because it's always easy to, like, make up at that point. But then you've kind of set the expectation that you're not a saint.
Right. Never trust anyone who's too nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's always just... Always have your guard up for someone who's too nice.
I'm just going to go, what's the red flag with this guy? He's got a second family.
Yeah.
It sounds like a second family.
Or he's a serial killer.
Yeah. Probably,
check his freezer.
Maybe both.
Yeah.
Dead family at home.
Hey, Hank and Big Cat. Sup, PFT.
Sup.
Up until about a year ago, no one had ever asked to spit in my mouth. Now three different men have wanted to spit in my mouth during sex. Is this a hot in the streets thing I don't know about, or am I giving off a weird vibe these days, and how do I make it stop?
You might just look dehydrated.
Well, let's throw it back to Hank. Is this hot in the streets? Are people spitting in each other's mouths?
I think it's like the new ass-eating season.
It is?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I don't think people are actually doing it, but they like to talk about doing it.
This person has started to date a lot of guys that watch some weird porn.
Bubba,
that's what's going on.
Spit in Hank's mouth right now, just so we can see what
that.
It looks like.
Fuck you, you weird fuck.
All right. Around the room, trust tree. Have you guys ever spat and had anybody spit in your mouth? Have you been on the receiving end?
No.
Nope.
No. Have you?
No.
Spat in someone's mouth?
No, I mean, me neither.
I thought you were going to say trust tree.
No.
We all have to spit in each other's mouth.
I was just making sure that you guys didn't do it either. It's totally normal.
Okay. Spitting in mouths. All right, let's do it. 2018, baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. It's the new ass-eating season.
By the way, did you see the most 2018 story of all time? Who is
it? Millennials killed mayonnaise.
No, the guy on the Padres. Who the fuck was it? It was, God damn it.
I'm already
bored.
Will
Myers. He had to apologize for bashing his manager during a Fortnite stream.
I did see that, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'd rather have my mouth spit into than have somebody insult me on a Twitch stream.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great segue. My boyfriend said he gets the same feeling when he wins in Fortnite that he does when he orgasms when having sex with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does this mean I'm good at sex or bad at sex?
Great.
Yeah,
it means
amazing.
You're unbelievable
it means
at
that,
sex.
It means that every single male between the age of 15 and 16 in the entire country wants to have sex with
you. Yeah.
Hey, PMT boys, especially PFT.
Sup?
I was curious on what to do about this reoccurring situation that happens every time my best friend is around and we all drink. My boyfriend seems to get carried away drinking and jokingly says that my best friend should join us in a threesome. Should I cave in?
Joke.
Should I cave in and test his theory, or should I keep laughing at him as if he were joking?
So what you guys are doing right now is playing a game of joke chicken.
Yeah.
So he is joking that you won't do it, and you're like, should I jokingly call his bluff? You guys are just going to have a threesome.
Yeah. But do it as a joke,
mm-hmm.
and then it doesn't count.
Yeah. Just wear a clown suit.
Just
put on like, red floppy shoes. And white makeup,
mm-hmm.
and do it inside
of
the sewer.
Play the Yakety Sax music during your entire threesome.
Yeah. It's a joke. Yeah, it doesn't count.
My boyfriend likes to listen to really girly music sometimes.
So?
What girly music is okay?
All of it.
What are the ones that are not allowed? I already know he's the beta of this relationship.
Oh, no.
But is it getting worse?
What girly songs are allowed? I would say like all, yeah, basically all of them. Basically every girly song.
And you know what? There are just guys who like to get dominated, so congrats to your boyfriend.
Yeah.
He knows his place.
Or lazy.
Yeah, that too.
If you just get lazy, then you can just start to accept your feminine side. You're like, yeah, just dominate me because I'm too lethargic to be on top.
Yeah, right.
All right, last one. Hey, PMT boys, especially Big Cat with the juicy taint.
Ooh.
I was wondering what workouts I need to do to also have a taint juicier than lemonade.
Oh,
Have we discussed Kegels? Can women jelk? I think Kegels is the female version of jelking, right?
Yeah, I think it's just that one machine that you just press your pussy together, and you have your friend videotape it, and you put it up on Instagram. That's mm-hmm. it. That if you do that machine all day in your yoga pants and put it up on Instagram, that's a very important part of the workout. Mm-hmm. I think you will have a juicy day.
Yeah. You remember that, the Thighmaster thing, the blue foam with the red thing that went on the vagina?
I think we bought that.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, we tried it for like one show. There was a while we were trying to get juicy pussies.
I had a tight pussy for about a week.
Yeah, we did. I was doing that underneath my desk while everyone was just being a worker bee. I was getting my juicy, mm-hmm. juicy pussy going. My juicy.
Yeah, there you go.
My juicy.
This is hot.
Let's get my juicy.
This has probably been the most sexual episode of Pardon My Take.
Yeah.
So when you take into account Rob Lowe and then us backing it up.
True.
Yeah, you should have nutted at least 3 or 4 times.
And we'll see you guys on Friday.
Love you guys. I've been coming for your love of drink.
Coming for you anyway. I was just making some popcorn. Do you ever watch people using real heavy equipment? Do you ever watch
Are there
people
things
using
that make
real
you angry?
Heavy equipment? Have you ever had a checkup? Have you by any chance lost your kitty? Well, I have her.
Presented by Barstool Sports.